Hello and welcome back to ACRAC. I'm Jed Wolpaw and I am thrilled to have a fabulous show today. I have with me the one and only anesthesia god. Now, I probably do not even need to introduce this person, but I will say anyway that this is one of the most influential anesthesia-focused Instagram pages on the entire platform. Anesthesia God has over 16 million views every month, 16 million, and roughly 270,000 followers. That puts the account in the top 1% to 2% of Instagram creators by reach efficiency and among the top 0.5% of medical creators by views. And just to put that in perspective, most successful professional or anesthesia-focused accounts have somewhere in like the 5 to 40,000 follower range, while Anesthesia God, as I said, has 270,000 and consistently delivers nearly 60 times that number in monthly reach, which means people are sharing these things so widely because they love it, and it really says a lot, I think, about the quality of the account and how far-reaching it is. Anesthesia God is a CRNA, an assistant professor, but we cannot disclose his name or university affiliation. He practices full-time clinically and has been in practice for more than 10 years, including academic teaching. He specializes in neuro and pediatric anesthesia and, of course, runs the Anesthesia God Instagram account. Anesthesia God, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, what's happening? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely thrilled to have you here. Thank you for the incredible work you do. And I want to talk about, let's talk about you a little bit first. So tell me a little bit about you. We know you're a CRNA. And as I mentioned, you've been practicing for about 10 years. Have you been doing pediatric and neuroanesthesia that whole time, or has your practice evolved over time?
Yeah, I mean, I started out doing pediatric anesthesia. I really loved pediatric anesthesia. I thought it was, you know, it's a little more challenging. It was different. And it was, you know, always those like moments of terror where you're like freaking out. And then, you know, these kids bounce back so quickly that it's like, okay, wow, he's fine. He was just blue and now he's in PACU drinking apple juice. Like, we're good. So I love that aspect of it. I do a lot of adults as well, but I think like primarily now I'm doing more adults. I do some neuro. I do teach pediatrics and teach neuro, though. That's why it was sort of my focus. So I kind of like do a little bit of everything.
That's awesome. Yeah, I loved pediatric anesthesia as a resident, but I think for me, I had kids at the same time. And so I like would be taking care of these babies while I had my own babies at home. And it was tough. So I, in the end, I decided to go other ways. But I have a ton of respect for people who do that every day.
Yeah, I've, you know, that's the one thing is, you know, kind of keeping it together in the operating room, because I feel like the entire staff is watching you when things are going bad with the kid. And depending on your reaction is how people are going to react, right? So if I'm flipping out, they're going to flip out. But plenty of times I've dropped them off in PACU and went to the locker room and got into the fetal position and cried for sure.
I bet. Yeah. Well, again, thanks for the work you're doing. So you have also, of course, this outside or other job, and I'm sure it is a job. You do an incredible amount of work with Anesthesia God. I mean, you're posting multiple things every day. When did you first start this account?
I started at like the end of 2021.
Okay.
And yeah, that's the start of it.
That was the start. So about 5 years ago. And what was the inspiration? You know, was this just, what was the origin story? Tell us how you got going.
I had a student with me in the operating room, and I was, of course, teaching, but I was also making fun of everyone in the operating room, which is what I normally do, behind the drapes. And they were like, you should have a meme page. And I was like, I didn't really even know what meme, like I knew what a meme was, but I didn't know like there was these huge pages that just did memes. And I started following this account, Gassy CRNA, which was, he's really the OG of like anesthesia memes. And he was like the only one doing it. And I was like, okay, so maybe I could just make fun of people on the internet instead of doing it in the operating room. and I started it up, and there is a group called CRNA Moms. They are a Facebook group. There are tens of thousands of them in there. It is a very select group. You have to prove you're a CRNA. You have to prove you have a child. Literally have to send them like blood samples to get into this group. It's difficult to get in. They don't let just anyone in. And I started posting some content, and someone took the content from there and put it on that Facebook page. And I literally woke up the next morning. It's like 5,000 followers. I mean, these women are like New York, you know, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Like, so, from there, the next day was like another 5,000. Like it pretty much was just growing exponentially from them. So I do owe a lot to them. I do owe a lot, you know, Gassy CRNA started posting some of my stuff. So that was how I kind of started the growth. But they were my big kickoff. Shout out to them. I love them very much.
Awesome. So do you have a background in comedy? I mean, it, like, anybody can I guess set up a meme page, but you know, they aren't necessarily going to be funny and popular and can consistently so over time. I mean, was this just something you learned on the go, or did you have prior experience with this kind of making people laugh, comedy of any kind, improv, anything that might have helped you be successful with this?
I mean, my mom's friends think I'm funny on Facebook. I mean, like, I was a class clown in high school. I was the class clown in middle school, in grade school, in middle school, like whatever. I'm not a comedian for sure. I don't think I'm a comedian for sure. I think I like to make people laugh, of course. And I think, I think if you, there are meme pages that I see and I can look at the memes and just be like, that's not really a funny person. They're trying very hard. And for me, this comes very easily. The content comes easily because a lot of it is sent to me from people and then I just kind of alter it a little bit. But also, I just can see a picture and be like, all right, I can relate that to the R in some way. So I guess it's just more creative flow than it is, comedian status.
Yeah. Now that's interesting that people, so when you first started, I'm assuming this was all your own self-generated content. And then as you got more well-known and popular, then people started sending you stuff. Is that kind of how it happened? And now it's mostly stuff you alter from others, or is it a balance kind of between the two?
Well, I get a lot of my DMs are everything. So the reason why I think this page has grown is because it's an organic following of people. They're almost cult-like, these people, which I love. It's really, really cool to have that feeling of community. There is a very strong feeling of community. I mean, we've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars with this page, you know, for, you know, someone is sick, someone passed away, someone needs this, someone needs that. I don't post a lot of that. So when I do, people react to it, and I don't post a lot of it on purpose because I do want it to be like, okay, well, you know, he's never recommended this. Now he's recommended this. I want to see. So I don't do a lot of advertising. I don't do anything. So, it is a very organic group of people and it was grown organically. So they are very committed to the page and they are committed to sending stuff, for example, take the, I know everyone's into the whole nail thing is got everyone thinking I'm a female, which is fine. Part of being anonymous is just, I didn't want people to come to the page just because they wanted to see me. I wanted them to come to the page for the content and not really care about who I am. Ironically, when you're anonymous, they care more about who you are. So it's almost like, you know, their mission becomes, who is this person? Especially a bunch of type A anesthesia people that are like, we need to know who this person is. So that's become sort of fun. I never set out to hide my gender. But with the nails, I think people assumed I was female, and the nails came from a follower. They sent me something and it was their nails, against like a Sevo fluorine bottle. I was like, that looks cool. They match. Posted it once. And then, you know, that night I get 30 DMs of the nails and people liked it. So I kept doing it, you know, so that's how a lot of the things evolve on the page. The page sort of evolves itself kind of.
Yeah. Very cool. Now I have to ask about the nails. When you say sometimes 4 out of 4, is that a rating? Is that like 100% rating? Or does that mean something else that I don't understand about nails?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of forced to learn a little bit about nails. Like I know what a fill-in is. If they've grown out too much and there's a space between the cuticle and the nail, it's like, okay, they need a fill-in. And I've learned that because like I'll post nail and then, you know, they'll come in the DMs and be like, those are horrible. She needs a fill-in. She hasn't gotten them done. Or, you know, so... I try not to rate them too much. I just like when the colors match, but these, the females on the page seem to love it. And, you know, looking at my demographic, it's about 72% females on the page. So they really enjoy the nail content. And then anything else that came along, then the men got upset about the nails. They started sending me their fancy watches. So then I started posting the watches, you know, so things just sort of catch on. And then there's a lot of things that don't catch on. People were sending me cool sneakers for a while. And then that kind of faded out. And I just kind of go with the flow and see what's happening with the page and what people really want to see. And that's kind of what I do.
Yeah. And so let's say you post a sneakers, and is it that you're looking to see kind of the hits and the shares? And then if that peters out, you say, okay, enough with the sneakers. Is that the feedback you get to kind of decide how to pursue different areas?
Yeah, I go to the DMs for everything. And this is what a lot of content creators don't do. They start to be like, you know what, this is so huge, this page, I'm getting so many DMs, I'm going to ignore them and maybe do the ones that have a verified star or whatever it is, a verified check. I try to go through every single DM, which is I probably get about 250 a day.
Wow.
And if it's something silly, I just glance over it, or I'll throw a little heart on something or whatever. But for the most part, I am trying to see. And if I see someone will send me, some news thing in anesthesia, and I'll get three or four of those. I'm like, all right, they want to hear about this. I'm getting like three or four of these. So I really pay attention to the DMs. I interact in the DMs, which a lot of content creators don't do. I think they just focus on pumping out content and not really gauging what's going on with the audience. And I think that was a big part of my growth as well, is to, and now it's at a point where it's like, they can't believe I'm responding to them. It's like, well, I'm not like untouchable here. This is like an Instagram page and I'm a normal person. Like, but, it's allowed me to also help a lot of people, because if you go through the DMs, there's a percentage of people that are in trouble, or they're not doing well on the residency, or they need to be talked off the ledge. And I'll take the time to do that. Sometimes I'll say like, listen, you can call through the app. Let's have a conversation. I mean, I've done that so many times, and that's kind of behind the scenes of the page that people don't really see is the work that goes behind the scenes with, you know, talking to people or interacting with people in the DMs. But the DMs are everything. And I think a lot of content creators don't understand that.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And I've picked up a little bit on that from some of the things you posted. So I imagine when you first started, this was really just making people laugh. It was memes. It was funny. But at some point, you started to have this, I mean, that's still there for sure. But you also started to have what you just mentioned, which is this ability to reach and help people who maybe are struggling in their training, or who are feeling down, or who just need someone to talk to, but you've somehow ended up as that person who they reach out to. When did that happen along the way? Was that pretty early on, or is that more recent?
Yeah, it was pretty early on. And because I think being funny, people assume you're approachable, which is really cool about, I guess, you know, making jokes and being funny on the internet. It's strange. People will, what always surprises me when people write to me and they say they want me to do their anesthesia. If am I available? Do I work near any hospital? Like, you know, lay people don't know. And they just think like, you know, I could just walk in any hospital and be like, I'm giving anesthesia room 6, guys. I'll see you in a little bit. Like, you know, they're like, what would it take for you to do my anesthesia? And I'm like, how does it go from like making jokes on the internet to this guy's got to do my anesthesia? There's some trust there or something that makes them feel comfortable, or I've had like a major female celebrity come to me because she was having a myomectomy and she had questions about the anesthesia. I can't even disclose who this is because she's very, very famous, a famous actress. But, you know, there's some degree of trust that comes along with, I guess, the humor of it all. I'm not really sure how that works, but people definitely are not shy about reaching out and saying, hey, I'm in trouble. You know, I have imposter syndrome. I'm in the operating room. This is going on with me. And I'm very good at talking people off the ledge because I'm very passionate about anesthesia. And if you've gotten this far, I'm not letting you jump off that ledge. We're going to get you through this. You know, if you got into the residency or you got into CRNA school, like, we're getting you through. And yeah, some people just want to say hi to me before they go take their boards. So I'll call them the morning of their boards and say good luck. I do all kinds of stuff like that, which I love a lot.
That's amazing. Yeah. What that says to me, the part about people reaching out and saying, will you do my anesthesia, is what we, I think, have lost in some ways in medicine, right? Which is that people would take someone they know and feel a connection with over, you know, without knowing anything about their medical skills, right? Just because of that connection. And we don't have that very much anymore. I mean, I had a patient the other day who was a physician here. And so when I found out I was going to do the anesthesia for him, I reached out, I called him the night before. And I just said, you know, just wanted to say hi and tell you, I'm, you know, answer any questions. And I think it really made a difference to him. And I kind of said to myself, you know, I really should do this for everybody, but you know, I don't, maybe I will start, but you know, that kind of thing, just having some connection is amazing. And I think that's what this shows, is that people who feel a connection with you, that overrides almost anything else, because they don't often feel a connection with their, sometimes any of their doctors, but certainly their anesthesia providers.
Yeah. I try to, and I make that a point in my, you know, sort of in my daily, you know, daily giving anesthesia routine, is to try to have a few minutes with that patient and not just talk about the history, not just like say, open your mouth as wide as you can, stick out your tongue. Like, it's more about like, you know, something to, I try to make everyone laugh at least once before we hit the OR, you know, make them feel somewhat comfortable with this person. Cause it's a bizarre experience if you think about it. You walk in and then it's like, this guy is going to pump me full of drugs, put me to sleep right now, and basically have my life in his hands. And I met him 5 minutes ago and he's just asking about my diabetes and if I took my Ozempic. And, you know, that I think that's a very challenging thing in anesthesia. We have to sort of win them over and sort of gain their trust, even more so with peds, you know, like, okay, I'm going to talk to you, mom, and then you're going to hand me this baby right now, which is, it's crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, it is really crazy. And having had to do it when one of my daughters had a procedure, you know, it is, even for someone who knows all the people and knows all the things about it, it is incredibly stressful and nerve-wracking to hand your kid over to somebody else, even someone you know. So absolutely agree with you there. Do you ever feel, I would feel that if I were in your shoes, I would feel, at least sometimes, I feel like I feel a lot of pressure, like pressure that I have to get stuff out, you know, on the account. I gotta post stuff. And also maybe pressure that, you know, I've now developed this reputation amongst at least my followers of someone who will do things like call you the morning of your boards or, you know, respond if you say I'm in trouble or I'm struggling or I'm upset or I'm not doing well in training or I have imposter syndrome. I mean, do you ever feel like it's what if you can't get to it all? You know, does that feel like too much pressure sometimes or you can handle it?
You know, it's interesting because if there is a shift with me, if there's something going on in my life and there, you know, if I'm going through a rough time or something, people pick up on it almost immediately. The followers, they do get to know you and they know your patterns. And so a lot goes into the memes. A lot of people think it's very simple and like, oh, he just took a picture and wrote something on it. There's always something in there that has to do with me, whether it's the song I choose. Sometimes the song just suits the meme, but sometimes it's if I'm feeling a certain way, I'll post a certain type of music for that. Or it's kind of like a timeline for me. I can go back and through and look through the memes and say, oh, I remember that. I was going through this at that time. They're more than what they seem. And aesthetically, I'm very crazy. If it's like, you know, if it's cropped in some way that I don't like, I'll just throw it away. Like people don't realize like all that stuff that sort of goes into like what looks like a really simple meme, but they will notice when I'm off a little bit and say like, hey, are you doing okay? You only posted once today instead of three times, because I'll just kind of shut down a little bit. I have enough content. You know, I can open up my iPhone. It's crazy right now how much content is in there just waiting to be posted. Cause sometimes I kind of like, should I do that? Should I not do it? So I kind of have to think about it, but before I post it, but, I usually have something ready to go and I'll just post it. Usually the stories die down a little bit if I'm really busy or if, you know, it's strange because when there's something going on in your life and you know, the people around you, they will judge you for posting. Like, you know, let's just make an example. Like say, you know, I had a girlfriend or something and be like, oh, you're really mad. You posted like seven stories. How mad are you? You know, like, so that part is hard that everyone's watching, you know, if I don't, you know, grade my students' exams, it's like, okay, yeah, but you also posted like 30 stories and we don't have an exam grade. So yeah, that's annoying kind of.
Yeah, I could see that. Can you estimate like how much time on average do you spend a day kind of putting this together and putting things out, I mean, including responding to DMs?
Probably close to 3 hours, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll do a little bit in the morning and then I'll do a little bit like on breaks at work. And it's throughout the whole day, it's kind of scattered, but yeah, probably 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah. And you must enjoy it, right? I mean, you can't spend that much time on something if you're feeling it's just a grind. I mean, I'm sure at times it is when you maybe you're stressed, you're tired, but in general, you must get a lot out of it.
I do. I love it. I do love it. Yeah, it's such a cool creative outlet. It's a very weird feeling to have like 270,000 people at your fingertips. That is it's a very strange feeling. And sometimes I'll just kind of go off the rails and be like, I'm going to post like a picture of my kitchen table. Like I just do things like, cause I just want to be unhinged, but it's just because it's a very powerful feeling to, you know, to know that you have like all this at your disposal. But it's also cool to know you can do something really positive with it, you know, and you could do something cool with it. So it's kind of always there. I don't know where it's headed. I don't know what to do. I'm a horrible businessman. So I'm sure I could have monetized this and made a ton of money on it, but I haven't done anything like that. I have a very DIY ethic, which just do everything yourself. You know, I print my own stickers when they're in stock, they're never in stock, but I don't keep up on things. And people are like, start outsourcing this stuff. And I'm like, I feel like if I outsource it, it's going to lose something. And I'm always afraid that something will happen with this page as far as like, you know, I never want it to change as long as it's working, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is certainly working. Is the different kind of things that have come out of it, the stickers, the scrub hats, was that something you envisioned from the beginning or did someone suggest it to you? Where did that stuff come from?
Yeah. Listen, I never thought this was – so when I set out to make this page, I wanted it to be a human person. You know, I didn't want to call it like anesthesia memes, man. Like I wanted it to be like, this is anesthesia God. This is a person, you know? So I wanted it to be an actual person. I was laying in bed one night, like 2 a.m. I started messing around with that dumb emoji, really. It's really silly, this logo that I created, you know, just sitting there sort of like trying to make this thing look like me a little bit, I guess.
And putting glasses on it.
This is the little icon that's on the main page.
Okay.
If I do anything to change that logo, people immediately start going like, go back to the old logo. Why did, like, I literally put it into ChatGPT and I was like, change the lighting, make this look a little more professional. And I posted the next day. Everyone's like, what is this? Take this out of here. Where's the old emoji? And that emoji became the brand pretty much. And for the hell of it, I was like, let me print out like 300 stickers. I'll throw it up on a website, see what happens. And they were sold out in like 17 minutes. And I was like, what is going on with this? Like, this is crazy. So at that moment, probably anyone would have said, I need help. I need to like, you know, outsource this stuff. And then, so I printed 300 more. And then I'm literally sitting in my house, licking envelopes, sending these things out. And I'm like, this is wild. Like, but there was something cool about handwriting each person's address and sending it to them and be like, oh my gosh, you actually wrote my address. Like there's something cool about it all, you know? I've turned down tons of scrub deals. I've turned down palm mask deals. Like everyone has come to me and because I'm anonymous, I can't do anything with it really. Except do like some little bit of advertising. But as far as monetization goes, I haven't done much of it. And one of the interesting things about the page that people don't know is it's literally always one post away from being shut down by Instagram.
Really?
I wanted to come on here and talk a little bit about the haters because people don't believe me when I say I have people that hate me and I don't know why. You know, we're sitting here talking about like talking people off the ledge. There is a group of people that like are out for me. So if I post a vial of medication on this page, it could be glyco, it could be anything. It could be neosnephrine. If I just post that vial to my story, it will almost immediately be taken down and flagged for drug trafficking.
Really?
Someone, now I don't think Instagram is watching me that closely, but someone is watching the page where when one of those vials pops up, and I've fought with Instagram and I've tried to, you know, tell them this is a medical page. These are prescription meds that we use. And I would never post ketamine and never post like fentanyl or something like that. But even just a vial, it's flagged for drug trafficking.
Wow.
And people don't realize that I'm so restricted from with the content, with what I do from Instagram. I had the page literally was almost shut down. They gave me the final warning. It was a few months ago it was someone sitting on a sofa and the sofa was, it was in a flood and the sofa was, you know, running down a river. It looked funny. I guess it wasn't, but, you know, so I said like leaving the room, shoulder arthroscopy or something like that, whatever, because of all the water. And it was flagged for like making fun of third world countries. And it was really, that was probably my worst violation. So I have to censor so much and be so careful with what I post because it's literally right now I'm on warning to be shut down. It's always kind of been on warning since I started it. So wow. that eliminates me from monetization. That eliminates me from the Explorer page. And that's why I say this is organic because Instagram algorithm hates me. If I see a stranger and I say, hey, what's up? I'm Anesthesia God. Follow me on Instagram. They will literally have to type A-N-E-S-T-H-E-G-A. You almost have to type it up to the G-A for it to actually pop up. Whereas
this
you would think
so,
of it.
Yeah, I never would have guessed. Yeah, I mean, and and you think, like, what's the driver? I mean, you're saying there are people who have, for whatever reason, they've just decided they're anti your account. And so they're like reporting every time they see something they think is reportable.
Well, I don't think they're reporting. I mean, ironically, the people who don't interact with me are about the 10 to 20K anesthesia influencer people.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, folks. Hunger strikes and you're exhausted. There's something healthy in your fridge that you should be making, but you just don't have it in you. Sound familiar? For me, eating healthy isn't a willpower problem. It's a setup problem until I found Factor. Factor solves the setup problem with fully prepared meals designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs delivered right to your door. My wife and I want to give our kids healthy food that they will actually eat, but we don't have time to cook from scratch. That's why we use Factor, and you should too. Inside your Factor box, you'll find lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole food ingredients, and healthy fats. It's always fresh, never frozen. My kids think Factor tastes like restaurant food, and honestly, they're right. Over 100 rotating weekly meals, including globally inspired flavors like Mediterranean and Asian, so there's always something new to look forward to. Try the newly launched ready-to-eat salads with vibrant ingredients like elote corn and miso edamame. I wouldn't have believed it until I tried it, and now I can't get enough. Get Factor if you want all the flavor and none of the fuss. Head to factormeals.com/ACRAC50OFF and use code ACRAC50OFF to get 50% off and free daily greens per box. With new subscription only while supplies last until 9/27/26. See website for more details. Hey, folks. I wanted to dive deeper into something that I think can truly make a difference for healthcare workers, FIGS scrubs. Made for awesome humans, these are scrubs that have our needs in mind. They're durable, antimicrobial, and super comfortable, which matters when you're 10 hours into your shift. I love my FIGS, and let me tell you, my wife, a pediatrician, loves hers so much that it's all she wears to work. Ever since COVID, she's all FIGS all the time. It doesn't matter if you're a dentist, a nurse practitioner, a medical student, CRNA, or CRNA student, or an anesthesiologist like me. Investing in a couple of pairs of FIGS is totally worth it. We're partnering with FIGS to get you 15% off your first purchase when you use code FIGSRX at wearfigs.com. FIGS goes beyond scrubs, too. They've got shoes, underscrubs, and even jackets that will make the ever-present hospital AC seem like a thing of the past. And they come in a wide range of colors that will let your personality shine through. Try FIGS today by going to wearfigs.com and get 15% off your first order when you enter code FIGSRX at checkout. That's FIGSRX at checkout. All right, and we're back.
I'll see one of their posts. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to like this. And I like it. And then I look at their account. Oh, they have 20,000 followers. They don't follow me. So right there is kind of like, now, I don't think everyone should follow me. But if you're in anesthesia, you've seen one of my, you've seen something about or heard something about me with the amount of stuff that gets shared. If a meme gets 4,000 forwards, like someone has shown you something. And if you didn't follow me, you probably don't like me or whatever it might be, or not like my content. But that is the demographic that I have the least amount of, like these people that are so-called anesthesia influencers or any type of influencer in the 10 to 20K follower range. They hate me.
And why do you think that is? Any idea?
Because they ain't me.
They're jealous.
I do. I think, I mean, I don't know. I mean, but listen, this was no small thing that I did. Like, this was not an easy thing to do. It's like, I don't know why you'd be jealous. I've actually put the work in to do this and worked really hard on it. And I could actually probably help you if you DM me and we talk a little bit and you got some content you want to put out, maybe I'll help you put out some content. Like, I don't understand the whole, like, oh God, this anesthesia guy. I've heard, like, you know, I've heard someone talking on a podcast about me saying, like, you know, I talk about how real it is to go to CRNA school. There's a lot of people out there going like, oh, anyone could do CRNA school. Anyone. It's like, no, it's kind of hard. It's difficult. And anesthesia is difficult. I mean, we make jokes and say like, you know, you're sitting on a chair all day. It's not easy stuff. I mean, you know, there are a few hours of boredom and moments of terror. Yeah. The moments of terror are what you're like trained to do.
Yep.
And I try to be real with people, you know, in that way. And I think a lot of people think, you know, I discourage people from, like, you know, going further, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I guess I could see somebody in anesthesia might not like the idea of portraying anesthesiologists as sitting in chairs all day and not doing anything. But I mean, I think you have to know that's like how we joke about ourselves.
Yeah, that's the biggest like contrast of a joke. Like, it's like we talk about that, but we really know what goes on. And the people in the room know what goes on. They know, like, we might be sitting, but we're actually listening and we're watching and we see everything that's happening. But yeah, I think it's, you know, it's one of those things though, like you're not doing good until you have like a bunch of people hating you also. You know, if you have haters, then you know you're doing something right, is what I've always been told. So that's just how I see it.
Yeah, I think that's right. You can't possibly make everybody happy. So 270,000 followers. They can't all be CRNAs and SRNAs, right? I think there aren't that many. Probably.
No, there's like 67,000 in the United States. But yeah, So that was one of my challenges. Like, how am I going to get bigger than anyone has ever gotten on for anesthesia memes? The thing is, if you have such a niche account, you'll plateau at some point. And I think I started to plateau at probably the 70K range. And I was like, how do I keep this going? You know, how do I engage surgeons now? How do I get other people involved with this and still make relevant anesthesia content? And that's when sort of the veterinarian stuff came in. I did some dental stuff that came in. And then I think the surgeon started catching on that I was, you know, that it's kind of like, hey, he's making fun of anesthesia, but he's also making fun of us. This is kind of cool. Because I think if you make fun of yourself, you can get away with making fun of other people as well. So a lot of surgery people got got involved. A lot of ICU people started doing some ICU content. The veterinarian content to me is the most interesting because that group of providers is so underappreciated. They're undercompensated. So they took this as, this is a human anesthesia person who's recognizing what we do. He's got a big platform and the stuff is actually cool. Like the human stuff is cool to see, but it's really cool for the humans to see what we do. It's like, we've seen a million people get intubated. Like, let's see a rabbit get intubated now. And it exploded on my page from mostly the anesthesia people loved it because it was like, wow, I put kids to sleep or people to sleep every day. Like, let's see how they're putting, you know, a sheep to sleep, you know? So they absolutely love the content. And the vets are probably some of my most loyal followers because they feel like I'm spreading some awareness about, you know, these people are smart, man. They have to know every species. Like, you're putting a gecko to sleep and then you're putting like a cat to sleep. Like, this is wild stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of knowledge. But they also do a lot of things that are very similar. They do caudal blocks. They do like stuff that we do, which is like, wow, this is really cool to see, you know, the two worlds collide.
Yeah, it is very cool. I love that you include that content. Do you tell me about the name? You said you didn't want it to be a kind of generic name like Anesthesia Memes. How did you pick Anesthesia God specifically?
Wu-Tang Clan, man.
Tell me more.
To me, they're the baddest rap group ever. You know, they're a clan, they're a crew. And they were the gods, you know, and they spelt it G-A-W-D. So I was like, all right, well, if they're the rap gods, I'm anesthesia god, you know?
Nice. You sometimes post, I don't know if it's things from, it's, is there another account called Nail Gods or is that like a, just something you put on? Is that just a part of the meme?
I mean, people started to try to like, yeah, I don't play into all the hashtags and stuff. I don't do anything that like Instagram wants me to do. Sometimes people were hashtagging like Nail Gods and all this stuff. And I toyed around with the idea of like making some, you know, I think people would probably buy a shirt that said Nail Gods because they just love the content, but nothing ever really came of it. But yeah, it's just kind of a hashtag that's out there.
Nice. Now you're, I think, only on Instagram. Have you thought about other platforms like TikTok and YouTube, or have you purposely stayed only with Instagram?
I played around with TikTok a little bit and I kind of made TikTok like a highlight reel. Someone actually took the name Anesthesia God on TikTok and I tried to message them. They wouldn't give it to me. So I'm the real Anesthesia God on TikTok. But I only got to about 7,000 followers on TikTok. I couldn't grow on there because I think TikTok is more showing your face, you know, get ready with me. Here's my makeup that I'm going to like tap on the lids. You know, and that's not what I do. So kind of seeing memes pop up on TikTok doesn't really work for people. If I have any content that I actually film live, like if something in the operating room or something, I'll put it there and it does well. But other than that, the algorithm there is very different. And they're looking for like, how clear do your eyes look? Are you lined up with the camera? And like all this weird stuff that these influencers do. So it's just not the right format for the memes.
Yeah, that makes sense. So when you think about all the, I mean, I have thousands, maybe more, who knows, of memes that you've posted over time. Do you have a favorite? I mean, that must be like, you get that question, I'm sure, all the time. But, you know, if you think a favorite, a few favorites that you think back on that you really loved.
You know, the interesting thing about the memes is if I love it and I'm sitting there in a lounge making a meme and I'm cracking up laughing to myself, my coworkers think I'm nuts. Like, they're always like, oh, he's making something. Those do horrible. Like the ones that I really love, like they do terrible. And I got to tell you, after doing this for years, I still don't know what something is going to do until I put it out there. I never know. And ironically, the memes that do the best are the memes that I create in 3 minutes. I throw something spontaneously in there. I post it up there and it'll take off like crazy. Like this morning I sat there, I probably sat there almost an hour editing a reel. I was putting a typing sound in it. It was a guy texting. He was texting his wife. I'm sorry. I couldn't get back to you. The hour is crazy, but he was sitting with his feet up on the anesthesia machine. I thought it was great. It looked great. It sounded great. I posted up this morning. It absolutely flopped. Like it was terrible. But you know, the ones that I just do off the cuff usually happen very, very quickly and they do very well. So the less time I put into it, it seems like the better it is. And the more spontaneous it is, the better it is. Once I start thinking and getting my brain into it, it usually doesn't work out for me.
That's so interesting. I think you must just have that kind of natural instinct of what's funny and what's not. And maybe that's why the spontaneous things just come off well. When you say something did well or it flopped, are you judging that based on shares and likes, or what information do you get back?
I don't usually look at the likes, but initially I will. If I don't get, if it doesn't hit 100 likes in 10 minutes, I usually archive it and delete it, because within 3 to 4 minutes, I can tell if this thing's going to take off or not. And usually by the 10 minute mark, I should be somewhere in like the 300 to 400 likes. I'll also look at the number of people that saw it. So if I see, all right, 3,000 people saw this and 3 people liked it, that's not very good. You know, if 3,000 saw it and 30 like it, we're doing okay. So I have all these weird sort of metrics that I use in my brain for like, is this going to be successful or not? You should always leave it there. I don't. I just like, I want everything to be a hit on the page, which is really bad. It's not the right thing to do for the algorithm, but it's just what I do.
That's awesome.
And
so
I have a personal account that I use. It's a personal, just my Instagram account that I go and I follow all the movies and I follow like all the movie clips and funny meme pages. So I go there and I usually like scan through there until I find stuff that I like or get ideas from there. And then I go back to the main anesthesia page and sort of bring things over. And
okay. Interesting. So when you, I was going to ask you about that, because obviously some people send you stuff and you can mess around with it. But if you're going out looking for your own content, you've got to have a pretty wide kind of knowledge of the current culture in order to find that stuff. Right. I mean, and that sounds like you're going on your personal account. You're looking for whatever's happening in the zeitgeist right now and then picking some of that.
Yeah, really successful memes are ones that will happen sort of on the fly too. If there's a, let's say, Super Bowl is always a big night for me. Something will happen in the halftime show. They'll start showing things and then I'll turn that into something. Those usually do really, really well. So if you could do something that's going on in like real time, that usually works out to be really good.
Do you know what some of the, like, can you think off the top of your head, some of the most popular posts of all time?
There's one with 33 million likes, and that was like someone starting an IV very, very quickly. People love the IV content, and this someone just like threw the IV in from across the room, and it was like, that really took off. There was a post with I actually got to talk to Steve-O. You know Steve-O from Jackass? It was like an MTV thing, and they were like, these stunt people like doing all these crazy stunts. He actually got someone to put a spinal in him, and then he put a helmet on and then ran as far as he could run before the spinal kicked in. It was diabolical. It was crazy. Wow. And that I posted that and people loved it. It was totally crazy content. And then Steve-O, I mean, this guy's got like millions of followers. He was so mad. He's like, why did you put this up there? Take this down immediately. I'm like, listen, it's doing really well. And he's like, I want it down wherever. So I threw my phone number in there. I didn't think anything of it. I threw my phone numbers in the DMs. I'm like, call me, bro. And he literally called me and he was like, I'm like, why are you so mad, dude? I'll tag you. What do you want me to do? And he's like, no, he's like, I'm doing a tour and I'm showing all this content that has not been released online. And this is one of the things I was going to show on the tour. And I said, well, dude, it's got like 20,000 like likes on this thing already in a couple hours. Like, can we turn it into an advertisement or something? He's like, yes. He's like, put this, link the tickets to this for the tour. So I ended up like talking him off the ledge, but it was very cool talking to him. Like, why'd you do this, man? Like he was, it was really fun. Like I've met a lot of cool people and like a lot of cool things like that have happened for me. That one was really cool. I love the ones about intubating in the ICU. It gets, because I love to get people crazy in the comments. And, you know, anesthesia people think like, hey, we're the only ones that can intubate. We're the airway people. Like, no one else matters. You know, that sort of attitude. So when I post something like, you know, I don't know, like Rocky Balboa entering the ring or something, it's like anesthesia showing up to intubate in the ICU. The intensivists go crazy. The respiratory therapists go crazy. Like, I love the fighting with the anesthesia people. Like, you guys, we intubate our own people. We don't need you guys to come. And like, I love stuff like that. You know, like that stuff's always fun.
The intubating in the ICU ones are hilarious. Absolutely. I love from that story about Jackass that, you know, one of the things, and I try to tell my kids this and my residents and everybody is, you know, in general, I think people give up too quickly, you know? And so here's an example of a lot of people when they're told, listen, take that down. That's my it's my copyrighted, whatever, you know, take it down. Would have just been like, sorry. Okay. It's down. And you said, look, here's my, like, call me, let's talk about it, right? I mean, that's such a long shot, but it paid off and it worked. And that's a great example of just rather than give up, you know, try it, try to talk to people. And often things will come that you don't expect.
Yeah. Well, I wanted him to know that there was a sort of, there's a whole demographic of anesthesia people that find this fascinating that you're running with a spinal in your back. Like, we think it's crazy. Who knows what your blood pressure is? Who knows? Like, you know, you had this huge sympathectomy while you're running around. I think he was running around like a bullpen with a loose bowl too. It was wild, man. But, you know, I was like, this is doing so well. Don't you want this up there? I've already tagged you. I've done everything I can do. Cause I mean, I definitely give credit where credit's due. I always tell people DM me if you have anything or, you know, people send me something like, oh my God, that's got my hospital in the background. You know, so I will always take it down immediately for people. But in that case, I was like, this is doing so well. Why do you want to take it down? Let's kind of use it as a promotional like video thing. And he went for it, which was really cool. And it was cool to get to talk to him actually.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about some of the kind of themes in your memes. We've talked about the nails and the vet medicine and chairs, obviously is a big thing in anesthesia, watches. There's a couple others I want to ask you about. So there's this theme of kind of the blood pressures. And the one that people are always trying to show you a picture of is a blood pressure of 123 over 45 with a map of 67 so that it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is that, well, I have a couple questions about that. Is A, where did it come from? And B, you know, how is it possible? I feel like that it may, are people messing around with the numbers or how are they getting it to be exact?
No. So I had to look into that because it's happened to me before. It's been like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I was like, okay, how'd that happen? Because if you calculate the map of 1, 2, 3 over 4 or 5, it's not going to be 6, 7. But, I found out that map is an estimate or, you know, there's more science to it, but it's an estimate pretty much. So it sometimes gets this estimate of 67 and, I posted it, it happened to me a couple times. I posted it once and it's been like everyone's mission in life to like, to get this blood pressure. But I've also had like people sending me like, you know, ChatGPT screenshots saying like, you know, a diastolic of 45 is not good under anesthesia. So for New Year's, I posted 120 over 80. Like, this is the new goal, guys. Let's shoot for 120 over 80 because I'm getting so much crap about the ones. I get crap about everything, man. So the nails, forget it. Every nail pick I get, every person that DMs me about nails, I get three infection control Karens telling me like this can't happen. But the blood pressure, they're coming for me now with that too.
That's funny. I would not have guessed that. Yeah, I'm not sure I've ever seen a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, but it is pretty funny. How about the license plates? Was that again just people sending you some kind of anesthesia or medicine related license plates?
Yeah, I mean, if you, especially in Texas, if you drive into the doctor's parking lot anywhere that has license plates, I mean, it's at the point, and some of them are really funny because they're just, they're so over the top, but it's at the point now where when I post, so I always take everything else out on the license plate. I don't show their registration, obviously, and stuff like that. I try to even hide the state, but they know the colors. But now when I put, like, when I post something like that, I get a message like, hey, that's my license plate, take that down. Or, I mean, I literally posted some guy's boat the other day. I forgot the name of the boat. It was funny though. Something about sedation or something. It was a boat. And then he's like, that's my dad's boat. Like, it's just crazy. Like,
yes, that's right. I remember that actually. Was it sedation or something? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, something like that. And then I put up a thing like, give me your boat names. And people came up like really great boat names.
So that's right. Yeah, you posted a ton of those. That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, they went crazy over the boat name. So that was a lot of fun.
That's great. How about footwear in the OR? So you have pictures of surgeons in barefoot, in flip-flops, in Crocs with their feet hanging out, of all kinds of cowboy boots. Like, where did that come from?
I think it's just, you know, I don't think anesthesia people realize how much we're looking at feet all day. Like, we're literally sitting in the operating room with this, you know, drape up, and we're looking at people's legs, and people are kicking their shoes off, or people got weird socks on. And when you put this out there for like 270,000 people, like, they find, you know, a lot of people take their shoes off, or they're wearing heels because they're going out after they're operating. Like, it just became a thing. Like, that's another thing. People just started sending me these things, and it's just one of those things that took off.
Yeah, that's fun. Are there others in your mind, other kind of themes that you've had over the 5 to 6 years you've been doing this that stand out as having been a lot of fun? Maybe something that isn't around anymore, but that once was, that you remember being fun?
People used to send me their anesthesia setup, which that was kind of basic. That really didn't go anywhere. People were sending me their actual car for a little while, or showing me their car keys. There's been all kinds of stuff over the years, but a lot of, you know, some stuff just doesn't take, and then some stuff they go crazy over. I'll never know what it is that makes them go, but there is definitely some stuff that just doesn't do well.
Interesting. So what are your plans moving forward? I mean, this is obviously incredibly successful. You don't have to make any changes. People will continue to appreciate you doing exactly what you do, but is that the plan, or do you have any future plans that you want to disclose to us?
I mean, I always fantasize, like, someday I'll retire and then take this name and, like, go do lectures, and they'll be, you know, sold out Madison Square Garden, me lecturing about malignant hyperthermia, like, whatever. Like, I don't know. I mean, I would love to do something with it, but, it's just weird to have this, like, built-in audience. What do you do with them now? I mean, I kind of dabbled in podcasting a little bit. I made a couple episodes. I mean, they're horrible. It was just me cursing, and, like, I had no idea what I was doing. And I was talking about, like, you know, going to Target, and someone had their dog there. Like, I didn't know what I just had no idea. And I posted two episodes, and it was like, everyone went to listen to these episodes. And then it was like, it was in the top 10 new podcasts for Apple Music in, like, the first week. And I'm like, this is, like, crazy. Like, all right, this is, like, crap that I put out there, but they're waiting for something, and then I give them something, and then it, like, explodes, and it's huge. So I don't know where to go with it all. You know, I know it's going to go somewhere. I'm going to do something positive with it, whether it be, like, you know, I don't know, review books, or I'll do something cool eventually with it. Right now, it's just fun to keep. I'd love to keep growing, and that's really the challenge, is to keep growing beyond anesthesia, but I can't deviate from anesthesia. If I do, people flip out. Like, the followers go crazy. So I can't post anything, but it's got to have some kind of anesthesia tied to it usually. But I would just love to keep growing and, you know, do my thing.
Well, fabulous. It is really, really fun and great work that you're doing. Let's turn to the part of the show where we make random recommendations. Do you have something you'd recommend the audience check out for fun?
So some of the pages I love, I mentioned Gassy CRNA. He's got a great meme page. I like Tiffany Moon. She's got good content. Anna, the nurse, she's a OB nurse. She's got really good content. Olivia Reeves is probably my favorite. She is, she has more followers than me, and she is a CRNA. But she does, like, a lot of makeup content. She does really cool stuff, but she's just a super funny human being, and probably one of the really good friends that I've made along the years doing this. She's the one I go to for advice when I need, like, content advice. She's very, very savvy with it all and doing very successful things with her pages, mostly TikTok, but she's great. Anne Marie Wiley's good. There's a bunch of pages that I like, but it's the people I follow, pretty much. So, I mean, I only follow like 80 people. So, that's the stuff I really like, if I follow them.
Yeah. Well, I will say, if you talk to Tiffany Moon, tell her I say hi. We were in the same residency program, and I think she was 2 years ahead of me. So I remember her a little bit from then. But she's obviously done a lot of cool stuff since then. So, if you're listening, Tiffany, or anesthesia god, if you talk to her, tell her I say hi.
Yeah, I actually got to meet her in person. I went to her. She sent me her book. She sends me candles, and she's always supported the content. She's been a really, from the beginning, she's been a huge supporter. And then I surprised her at her book signing in New York. And she was like, you know, I posted the video. It was really cute. Like, she's like, who should I make it out to? I'm like, Anesthesia God. She's like, oh my God. And I'm like, wait, we're both starstruck over each other. This is crazy.
That's awesome.
But it was a lot of fun.
Well, I'm going to recommend a fabulous book that I love. It's called An Immense World by Ed Yong. And it is all about how animals sense the world and all their different senses and some of the amazing things that have evolved in nature, like the fact that dolphins and whales can actually use sonar to not only see fish, but if they've already been caught on a line, they can tell where the hook is inside that fish, and then they can bite the part of the fish that is not including the hook and pull it right off the hook. So pretty incredible stuff. Highly recommend. Check out the book An Immense World by Ed Yong. Very cool. Well, Anesthesia God, thank you for what you do, and I hope you keep doing it and find even more success. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
I was happy to be here. And dude, I have to tell you, people were like freaking out that I was coming on this show. I mean, I know I listened to the show, so I was always like, hey, this guy, the way you present things in such a, it's in such a way that it's very easy to wrap your brain around. And I was in the OR last week. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to the ACRAC podcast. And the people were like, what? Like, the students were flipping out. Everyone's flipping out. They like, I didn't realize, I knew I listened to you. I didn't realize like the whole world's listening to you. So I think what you're doing is awesome. And I do love your content as well. And I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
All right. Hopefully you got as much out of that as I did. That was really fantastic. Let us know what you thought. Go to the website, acrac.com, where you can leave a comment. Others can learn from what you have to say. If you are a fan of the show, you can follow us. We're on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are on Reddit. And we are on Instagram. I'm at Jay Wolpaw on Twitter, and we're at ACRAC Podcast, and you can find us on all those other platforms as well. If you are a fan of the show, please consider going to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and leaving a comment and a rating. It really helps others find the show. If you'd like to support the making of the show, please consider going to patreon.com/ACRAC. That's patreon.com/ACRAC, where you can become a patron of the show. Even if it's just a dollar or two that you pledge, it makes a big difference, and we really appreciate it. You can also make donations anytime by going to paypal.me/ACRAC or looking up Jay Wolpaw on Venmo. Thank you so much to those who have already made donations and become patrons. We really appreciate it. Thanks, as always, to our fantastic ACRAC crew.
Sonia Amanat is our tech lead. Taylor Duggan, William Mao, and Rachel Furman are our production assistants and social media managers. Thanks so much for all you do.
Our original ACRAC music is by Dr. Dennis Kuo. You can check out his website at studymusicproject.com. All right, that is it for today. For the ACRAC podcast, I'm Jed Wolpaw. Thanks for listening. Remember, what you're doing out there every day is really important and valued.